Good evening. Certainly nice to see each of you here this evening. And look like we have a few more than we had on Tuesday. And we are delightful indeed to see you. We know that this is the time of the year when you're trying to recoup and regroup. And we know that it makes it sometimes difficult for you to attend services. But we're glad that you made it out this evening and trust that as we have been praying together, there's something about the prayer meeting, you know. You come tired and leave refreshed because it's a wonderful privilege to gather together around the throne of grace and to bear one another's burdens, to call each other's names in prayer because of what we know the needs are, that we might know that each other, each of us do care for each other. I just came back from Maniwaki last week. One of the things that blesses me when I go to Maniwaki is that their form of Sunday school. They have a particular form of Sunday school, and I believe it's because they don't have many children like you would have here. Matter of fact, they have very few children. And the format really is rather interesting. They have an open Sunday school all the time, and they have open recital of verses, much like the Bible class here on a Sunday morning. The adults, of course, stay in the seats and they say their memory verse, or say a verse, but the little tots would walk up and they would come up on the platform and they would say their verses. The real little ones get the little cards with just a phrase from a verse. For that age, that's about as much as they could remember. Some of them can't remember that little phrase, like a phrase like, "The Lord is my shepherd." And when I was there this last time, there were a number, two or three little ones, or they may be a year old, maybe a little less, just started to walk. And to see them walk up to the platform with their little cards staggering. But the thing that fascinated me this particular time is to watch the grandfathers. Now, those of you who are grandfathers, now, some of you might be old grandfathers, and you don't have that impact upon you now, like folk like myself, who just have one grandchild that's 2 years old, and others that are a little younger just have one. And it's amazing to watch the grandparents when they look at those little ones staggering up there to say their verse. I mean, they smile from ear to ear. And they're so thrilled to see them little ones. And I caught myself thinking, as I saw especially one grandfather. Oh, he was so, I mean, he was, you could see it all over. Boy, that's my grandchild. I don't think she's a year old. But then I thought, as I watched his expression on his face, and I thought, you know, how important it is for a child to grow. How much it means, not only to the parents, but the grandparents as well, to see those little ones grow, mature, not to stay little babies, but to grow and become strong, that they might be able to face the various experiences of life. And that's very essential. We look forward to that. We pray for that. Matter of fact, when we know that our children have conceived, we commence to pray that those, that fetus might grow and develop normally. And then when it's born, we pray that it will grow up to take its place in society and be a credit to the glory of God. Because it's so important for children to grow in the natural. And as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. I believe, you know, our Heavenly Father, as He watches that person who just becomes a Christian, the Bible refers to them as babes in Christ. And to see them grow and start creeping, as it were, and then getting up and staggering, walking, I can see our Heavenly Father just looking and admiring those young believers as they are growing in the things of Christ. It means a lot to the heart of God, because it is important for them to grow. For those of you who were here on Tuesday, you would know that we have commenced a study or a time of sharing in the general theme, growing in the Spirit. Growing in the Spirit. And we'd like to read with you this evening, for a scripture reading, from 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, just some verses from this passage. And as we continue to consider, with the time that we have, our general theme, growing in the Spirit. Verse 18 of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 verse 18 says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, by which we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction. Ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth." Now turn over to verse 24. "Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Now I'm sure the Lord would bless to our hearts the public reading of his precious word. I mentioned to you on Tuesday evening that the Lord Jesus taught that the Holy Spirit is the only answer to a vital Christian life. He is the only answer to a vital Christian life. And he emphasized this by saying, it is absolutely necessary. The word in the Authorized is expedient. It is absolutely necessary that I go away. And if I go not away, the Spirit will not be able to come unto you. And so the Lord Jesus knew the vital importance of the person and ministry of the Spirit. Therefore, he says, I have to go away. It is necessary that I go. And so, we not only note the fact that he is the answer to a vital Christian life, we mentioned also that he is the answer to a successful Christian witness. You remember the Lord Jesus, as he spoke with his disciples, that they were to remain until they received the Holy Spirit. Till you receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Some time ago, I read in a book written by Samuel Chadwick. Samuel Chadwick lived in the early 18th century, and he was a Methodist minister, one who was quite able in the Word and knew much of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in his life. And as I read his book, The Perfect, or Christian Perfection, I read these words, and I typed them out, and I pasted them in my Bible. And this is what it says. Samuel Chadwick is speaking. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. The last words from Jesus was, go back. Go back to Jerusalem and tarry. Tarry until ye be endued with power from on high. But Master, the world is dying. Let it die. But men are hungry. Let them be hungry. But hearts are breaking. Let them break. But multitudes are being lost. Let them be lost. Rather than you attempting the divine work without the divine power. Go back. Go back to that upper room. Back to your knees. Back to searching your own heart. Back to waiting and back to praying. Back until you come to the condition of heart and of life. There your personal Pentecost shall come and then go. Oh, then you will find that the works that Christ did, you can do. Filled with the Spirit, miracles shall become the commonplace of your daily experience. And Samuel Chadwick then was aware of the fact that apart from the Holy Spirit, there could be no successful witness. This is why it is so important, as we have noted on Tuesday, or commenced to note on Tuesday, that we are to grow in the Holy Spirit. Now on Tuesday, we asked you to understand with us then, His indwelling in us. This is fundamental to our sharing. This is fundamental truth. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You remember the Lord Jesus saying in verse 23 of John chapter 14. Let me read it with you. The Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and this is what he says. Jesus answered, verse 23 of John chapter 14, if any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We will come and make our abode with him. Now when you turn to first John chapter 1, and chapter 3 and verse 24, you understand how this that Jesus said would happen. First John chapter 3 verse 24 says this, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, that's the Lord Jesus. We dwell in the Lord Jesus, and Jesus dwells in us. And by this we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit whom he hath given. And so when the Lord Jesus said, the Father will come, and I will come, or we will come, and take up our abode in you, it means that this would be accomplished through the Spirit. And so Jesus dwells in us by the Spirit. Now if you look at chapter 4, same 1 John, chapter 4 and verse 12,
we read these words. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And so we see that the Father dwells in us, the Son dwells in us by the Holy Spirit. And this is fundamental to growing in the Holy Spirit. Also, we mentioned that not only doth he indwell us, and we elaborated on what that means, what that implies on Tuesday evening, the fact that he indwells us. Just let me mention just the one emphasis, or the primary emphasis, of his indwelling, number one, or rather, it is the sealing of the believer. For it says, after we believe, we were sealed. Emphasis, ownership. We belong to the Lord. And then we also mentioned that he is in us, he indwells us, to give assurance to the believer of salvation. His Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so we become assured of our salvation because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful thing to be assured of salvation. For some, a year after I became a Christian, 6 months, I was so spiritually high, so to speak. But following that experience, I was in Chicago, I commenced to doubt my salvation. And let me tell you, it's an awful experience. An awful experience to doubt one's salvation. Well, I doubted because I was, as Brother Don was sharing with me just the other day, in relation to Isaac and Jacob, the fact that Isaac said, when Jacob came in, he says, you feel like Esau. You feel like Esau, but the voice is the voice of Jacob. And so he was deceived because he went by what? Feeling. If he had listened to the voice, he would not have been deceived. And you see, although feelings, I believe, realize in a believer's life, but that is not the foundation for assurance. The foundation for assurance is the Word, is the voice of God through the Word. And so, it is important then to note. And so I fasted in feeling. I felt good when I got saved, but when the feelings changed. But it wasn't until I came to grips with the fact that it is the Word of God. And all the blessing, all the joy, when I came to realize afresh the assurance of salvation. Oh, I was eager to share it, because I was sure about it. And so the Holy Spirit in us, to give us the assurance of salvation. Also, we mentioned that he is there to impart strength, to give us strength to live for the Lord. And we quoted a passage of scripture in its context, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. And we were very careful to emphasize the context of the verse. Not just the verse, but the context. And we mentioned that it's in the context where Paul says, I know how to abound, and I know how to be abased. I know how to suffer loss, and I know how to have plenty. And so I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens us. And what he is saying through the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit, we are able to adjust ourselves to any circumstance of life. Now that's growing in the Spirit. And it's important that we grow in the Spirit. Real quickly, we want to mention also that the Holy Spirit indwells us in order to lead us. In order to lead us, or rather to teach us first of all. To teach us first of all. Now I read to you from 1 John 2, but before we go back there, just let me touch some verses here in John chapter 14. For in John chapter 14, I read verse 17 again, which says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." And verse 26 says this, "But the Comforter, the same one of verse 17, the same one of verse 17, but the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you." Now I read to you from 1 John 2. The context of 1 John 2 is deception. It's deception. Deception, because at the very outset of the verses I read, verse 18, John mentions Antichrist. And he says, many Antichrists have gone out into the world. The primary purpose or interest of the Antichrist is to deceive the people of God. It's to deceive the people of God. This is why when you come to chapter 4 of 1 John, John says, try the Spirit. Remember, he says, the spirit of Antichrist has gone out. That's chapter 2. Chapter 4, he says, try the Spirit and see whether they are of God or not. Emphasis, deception. And here then, in the passage I have read with you, 1 John chapter 2, John then emphasizes that we are being taught by the anointing. The anointing is another expression of the Spirit. And he teaches the truth. I'm not writing to you, he says, because you don't know the truth. No, I'm writing to you because you have the anointing. And because of the fact, note now, because of the fact that you have the anointing, you need it not that any should teach you. That's the emphasis. Now you must understand. It's important for me to mention this. You must understand that what he is talking about, you need that no man should teach you. He's talking about false teachers. You don't need these teachers, these false teachers to teach you because you have the anointing. He is not saying now that we are not to be taught by gifted men of God, because the Bible tells us that he has given to us teachers in the church. So you'll understand the context is dealing with false teachers. And so he says, you have the unction. Now this is why it's so important then to grow in the Spirit. Because as we grow in the Spirit, who uses the Word of God, the Bible says the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. As you allow him to teach you and you grow in him, you are able to discern the truth as people minister. Let me give an illustration. Matter of fact, I mentioned it Sunday night in a different context, of course. The fact that God knows wherever we are. But let me just use that same illustration about Ahab and Jehoshaphat. Now Jehoshaphat was a good king. He was a godly man. When he came to the throne, he gave his heart or purpose in his heart to seek the Lord. And so you only have to read the reign of Jehoshaphat and you'll get some idea. So when Jehoshaphat was up with Ahab, and Ahab said, I want you to go with me to battle. And Jehoshaphat said, okay, but let's find out from the Lord first. And so Ahab said, all right, he called the prophets. And they came and they prophesied. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Governor. And they had their visual aid to express how it was going to be and how Ahab was going to be successful. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord here? Why was he able to say that? Spiritual discernment. And so it is with the believer. The believer who is indwelt by the Spirit, who is anointed by the Spirit, who grows in the Spirit, they will be able to discern. They will have spiritual discernment and they will know what's right and what's wrong, what's erroneous and what is not. That's why it's so important to grow in the Spirit. And so the Spirit teaches us. The Spirit teaches us. Matter of fact, when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where Paul is talking about the Spirit's teaching and the natural man and the spiritual teaching. He says the natural man cannot appreciate, cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. To him, they are foolishness. Neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually discerned. And so it is there in that context where Paul in his teaching is saying that who knows the spirit of man save the spirit in man? Or who knows the mind of man save the spirit that's in him? By the same token, he says, no man knows the things of Christ, but by the Spirit of Christ. And so the Spirit of Christ, of course, is the Holy Spirit. And so he teaches us the things of Christ. He teaches us the things of Christ. John chapter 14, when he has come, he is going to talk about me. He's going to teach you about me. He is going to glorify me. He is going to testify of me. John chapter 14, John chapter 16. This is why, beloved, this is why when you hear people who exalt the Holy Spirit rather than the Lord Jesus Christ, they are not in obedience or led by the Spirit. The person who is controlled and growing in the Spirit will not exalt the Spirit, will not just talk about the Spirit. They will talk about the Lord Jesus, for he says, when he has come, he's going to talk about me. This is why, beloved, it is important to understand the fact that a lot of people who claim that they are filled with the Spirit and say very little about the Lord Jesus, something's wrong with that spirit. I normally say that ain't the Holy Spirit, that's a spirit. Because if it is the Holy Spirit, he is going to talk about the Lord Jesus. He is going to glorify me. And you know, it's a wonderful thing when you sit and you hear people glorifying the Lord Jesus. Do you know this is what God is pleased with? Matter of fact, this is what God does. God's interest is that the Son be glorified. And God says, I have glorified you and I will continue to glorify you. because it is his interest to glorify the Son. And the entire ministry of the church is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to exalt him. And so the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as he teaches us, as we grow in him, it is that he might exalt the Lord Jesus, that he might glorify him, that he might testify of him. Very quickly, also, he indwells us that he might lead us, lead the believer. He is to guide us into all truth. He is to guide us in the way of holiness. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me. And this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He guides us in every phase of life. As we are going to note in other aspects of our sharing, I'm going to close in just a moment. Just give me another moment to finish this particular point. And then not only to lead the believer into all truth, and to guide him in the way of righteousness and holiness, but also to reveal to him things to come. Let me read a very important passage of scripture with you. We quote it a lot. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I made reference to it earlier, but 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9 says this. But as it is written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the hearts of men, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now usually, when we read that passage, or quote that verse, we stop right there, don't we? Don't we? We stop right there. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the hearts of men, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And we stop right there. And we apply that, of course, to heaven. We apply that, of course, to heaven. But we stop right there. But if you read on, you will know. It says in verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us. Oh, yes, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men, the things which God hath prepared for us, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Verse 10, by his Spirit. And this is why, you see, this is why there can be such an appreciation for the things of God, both those that we now know and enjoy, and the things that we know we are going to enter into. When you read the book of Revelation and also other passages of Scripture, we get glimpses, revelations of what these things are. The Spirit reveals them to us. It says in relation to heaven that when we get to heaven, there is going to be no more sickness, no more sorrow, and the like. It also says that these bodies are going to be changed, and we're going to be fashioned like unto his glorious body. We know that, don't we? And we know it because the Spirit has revealed them unto us. Now grant you, because of the fact that we are dealing with eternity, and we're dealing with eternal things, and we're dealing with heaven, yet there will be those things that we will not be able to understand here. But a lot of the things that we're going to know over there, we're going to be able to understand them to a degree here, because the Spirit reveals them to us. And the reason for the revelation of the Spirit to us of these things is to give us a longing for glory. That's why John cried, even so, come Lord Jesus. Because of what he knew awaited him there in glory. The same thing is true when we come back, when we go back to the Old Testament. Moses sent the spies over into the land to bring samples of the land and to bring some information about the land itself. And when those folks saw those large spears of grape, matter of fact, it says that took two men to carry one spear of grape. Are you sure I won't sell them at food fair? I mean, that's plenty great. One spear. And so what was it for? It was to cause the people to have a longing for the land, to want to go over there where God had prepared for them, and that the place that was flowing with milk and honey. God wanted them to enter into that, and God wanted them to want to be there. And I believe as the Spirit of God reveals to us these wonderful unseen things through the Scripture, it's to give us a longing for home, a longing for glory. John says in his epistle, he says, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we do know this. When he shall appear, we're going to be like him, because we're going to see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope, every man that hath this revelation, works towards it, longs to experience it. Growing in the Spirit. Oh, it makes a difference in how we appreciate who we are as God's children and what we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. We trust as we continue to meditate upon this, what I call a fundamental subject, a fundamental truth, it will be a time of great encouragement and blessing for all of us. Now would you bow with me, please, for a closing prayer. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord Jesus gave us. He is sometimes called, Father, the Spirit of Christ. We believe the emphasis is to reveal the life of Christ in us and through us. Sometimes, Father, he's called the Spirit of God to bring to us, to emphasize in our heart and our life, the greatness of thyself, the majesty of God, the care of a Father. All of these things are true and are more real to us as the Holy Spirit ministers to us. And as we grow in him, we pray then that you will help us to grow in the Spirit. For if we grow in him, we will walk in him. If we walk in him, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh, we would manifest the fruit of the Spirit. And it is this fruit that creates a longing in the hearts and the minds of those who are yet outside of Christ, that they might have a desire to know the Lord. We ask your blessings then upon the word as we've shared together tonight. Use it to glorify thyself and to build us up, to help us to grow, for we pray as we give thee thanks, asking now your parting benediction, for we pray in Jesus' name.